Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
We love her voice. I think maybe even more than her voice, we love her spirit. Linda has never met a stranger, and if she's met you once, I think she knows you and knows your whole story for life. You've got a memory that if we could just bottle your memory and face recognition and how you do that, I want you to teach a seminar on how to remember names, because that's so important.
Just think of something silly with the same first consonant of the name, unless it's a vowel name or whatever. And it's easy. And then people, you endear yourself to them, they endear themselves to you. And so it's kind of easy to remember. And then when I don't pretend, I don't go, oh, I think, you know, so yeah, but I remember a lot of people, Daniel, because I've connected on a level that's just very special.
Well, the proper introduction should finish out like this. Her name is Linda Randall. It's good to have you here.
Thank you, Daniel. Good to be here. It's been way too long.
Oh, I know. And that's what I want to catch up. Yes. And, you know, I saw your brother the other day. I was at a Christian music event in at Disney World.
Oh,
and
yes.
Michael was there. But you know what was so cool about this kind of full circle moment? Right. And I love this about DC Talk is that I was sitting at a dinner table, round table, and to my back, somebody said, hey, look over your shoulder. Toby Mac was right behind me. So when it comes time for the concert, now Toby Mac and I sit next to each other. And I'm watching Toby get into Michael's music, and Michael's just like, my brother's out here.
Right.
And you know, it's camaraderie.
Was Toby just hanging out?
He was just there. And
that is so cool. Yeah, they've been best buds forever and a day, and nothing can separate that bond. It's so special.
And that's what I was saying, bring me around again full circle here to Linda, is, you know, the way that you sometimes will be out, and we say in Kansas City, when most of the music world is based out of Nashville or what have you, and you're in Kansas City doing your thing.
Yes.
And the fact that you come back into a Gaither circle or you come into a Linda Randall concert and it's like there's been no break. It's like there's been nothing has changed.
No
it's familiar.
Lost, no right. Love. That's right. That's right. I was with Bill the other night and Fall Fest in September and he was like, so good to have you back. I'm like, I've not been gone, but I haven't been in this circle a lot. But we've been on the road, solo concerts. I mean, Daniel in other countries. God is opening up incredible doors of opportunity to minister. And I give him all the glory. It's the coolest thing. But yeah, you're right. When we come back together, there's no love lost. We pick up where we leave off. And that's just family. That's how we do.
Well, and with your own family, have you found that that's the thing? Like, you know, things will change.
Yes.
Your girls will move out.
Yes.
And you don't want it to happen, but you know it's going to happen.
Yes.
But that there are natural stages of
that's
life,
right.
of
yeah.
ministry, of music or whatever. And a lot of where you are today may help you spread your wings for something tomorrow. I think we all can learn that lesson.
Absolutely. And speaking of moving out, our oldest daughter who went to college at Anderson University, well, maybe 4 years ago now, she lived in Nashville 2.5 years. She just moved back home. For just a wee bit, she's writing and blogging, and she's helping with our social media part of the ministry. And then our other daughter, Joy, she's 18. She's in college now, so she's out. So it's really nice to kind of have that revolving door a bit, you know. But, yeah, it's given us an opportunity to do some other things. We have a church plant in Kansas City, Mosaic Bible Fellowship, for the last year and a half. My husband's a pastor, and that's been growing, and God's blessing that. We've got people from all walks of life. Daniel, it's just so great. Different cultures, different socioeconomic backgrounds. But it's great. So it's really cool. But yeah, they come and they go. But at the end of the day, you know, we're forever family.
Linda Randall is with me. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, and we've got more of the conversation still to come.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Jesus so sweetly abides within, there at the cross. cross where he took me in, singing glory to his name.
Linda Randall, did I pick up on this, that you are now a pastor's wife?
Yeah, I'm a pastor's wife. I don't know what all that means. You should have seen me, Daniel, probably maybe 4 or 5 months into the pastor wife thing. I went down in front of the church, and we're very open. We get to share, and sometimes we want to have testimonies. And I got up there. I was a blubbering mess because I was like, I don't know how to be a pastor's wife because I don't know what's expected of me, and I just love people. You know, I get pulled on anyway because just by virtue of what we do in singing and ministry, and sometimes people come to the church for the wrong reasons, and you got to have to filter through all of that. Right. And I just want to love people. And, you know, sometimes people get attached and it's kind of, you know, I don't know. And I just want healthy relationships and friendships with people for all the right reasons. And so I was just asking the members to pray for me as I navigate through this pastor's wife thing. It's kind of interesting. So, yeah, and I'm blessed. I'm thankful. I love it.
If we had a live studio audience sitting here, I would say, isn't Linda Randall the most natural pick for a pastor's wife? And we could cue the fake applause now because they would all go crazy. I think.
Oh, you're so sweet. You know what? My husband and I were actually invited to Florida. This was about maybe 4 years ago. There was a pastor there that was stepping down. They had a current membership of about 1,200 people, over 50 nations represented in this church. They were going to give my husband the salary that he requested. He could bring his staff. We were going to be like living near the water, the whole thing. That's not where God called us. But what's funny, when you said pastor's wife, he thought that I could be a built-in praise and worship leader. And I said, well, pastor, I sing, but we have somebody else that does our praise and worship at church. I really do try to stay in the background. They ask me to sing all the time, but maybe once a quarter, maybe. And then I'm like, you know, I just don't want to be up front because I'm always up front. But it's funny because this pastor thought, well, we're going to get a great preacher and a wonderful singer. And that's not what, that's right. But that's not what God had in mind. You're funny, Daniel. That's not what he had in mind. And so, yeah, so we started from scratch, and it's just great. It's great.
In you I find my joy. I find my strength, no other name but Jesus. You hear my every prayer. I find my solace there. In you I find my joy, Jesus. In you I find my joy. In you I find my peace. wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I'm telling, He made all my darkness depart. Future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believe, riches eternal and blessings supernal from His precious hand I received. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Linda Randall is with us. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. And so, honestly, I feel like this is a silly question or a softball question from my point of view. But I got to ask, what's new? What's the latest in your music?
And what's available for us?
It's
not a silly question. I don't know if everybody's aware of this, but I did a hymn series, started about 2 years ago. My mom was with us then. She's been gone now a couple of years. And I started with, would sing to her, and when she was in those rehab places after surgery or whatever. And of course, the seniors especially love the hymns with just piano and just sing. They don't like all the other fluffy stuff, you know? And my mom was really, really just instrumental in my dad in teaching us the hymns as kids. So I did Ageless Hymn Series, Songs of Hope, Songs of Peace, which is just Joey Gore, my piano player, and myself. We went in the studio and just sang and played all of the old songs, In the Garden, No One Ever Cared for Me Like Jesus, There's a Sweet, Sweet Spirit, Just As I Am, all these other songs. And I wrote a couple of my own little hymns. And then this latest one, Ageless Hymn Songs of Joy, is full-on joyful. We have Joey Gore, the Wilmington Celebration Choir. They are based out of North Carolina, singing on this project. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit more instrumentation, but the songs are fantastic. And so that's the latest musical series. And then I'm working on a kid's book, The Cab Driver's Daughter, which hopefully will be ready in just a few months. It's an incredible story of my life.
Linda Randall, I know I have asked you this question, and I know I'm not the only one who asked the question. So for those who are new, or for those who just don't know the story, you're from Washington, D.C.
Yes.
You now and have been from Kansas City.
Yes. 28 years, probably. Yeah, a long time.
So what took you to Kansas City? What's the Kansas City story? And it's not picking on Kansas City. Most artists are out of Atlanta or Nashville.
How does an inner city kid get from Washington, D.C. to Kansas City? Okay, I can probably do this. I can do it in 1 minute. Went to Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia, roomed with a young lady, Mary Beth Davison. we were in an apartment off campus. She says, Mom, I live with a gospel singer. They said, wow, that's way cool. Her parents were pastors in the Nazarene and Methodist Church. Does she ever come out to sing? They brought me to Kansas City, put me on a television program during the summer. My husband was flipping through the station, saw me singing, didn't see a ring, and said, that's going to be my wife, to his brother as he was watching. I went to a church where he attended, didn't know him, knew one other person, got introduced to Mike. I was dating someone else, but a year later, God brought it full circle. So that's how I got to Kansas City.
So it's your husband.
It's my husband.
Is he born and raised there?
Born and raised in Kansas City, Kansas, but then it wasn't long after that until he moved to Kansas City, Missouri.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what part of Washington, D.C., inner city life, childhood, do you really feel proud of that you bring to Kansas City and your ministry today?
That's an interesting question, because for a while I thought of all the places to raise a kid, Daniel. Why in the world was I ever raised in the city? But, and I'm not trying to be weird, because I know there are other people that have seen folks shot and killed, and you know, I had somebody try to attack me in the park, and we were in church as little kids, and somebody came in with a gun to rob our church, and I had to crawl under the pews to our house next door, almost strangled myself with the key that was on my neck on the rope to try to get in to call the police and all that crazy stuff. But I think everything, because it has made me the person I am and the person that I'm becoming. I'm able to minister, Daniel, by the grace of God, to people from all walks of life. It's just not this one-dimensional ministry, you know. And I'm not saying any offense to somebody that maybe was suburbia and you grew up on a farm. You don't have no. That is all well and good, and God will use that. But it's just pretty diverse, because I've done some farm stuff, I've done the inner city stuff, I've been to a lot of different cultures, and so I would take it all, the good, the bad, the ugly, everything in between, because it's my life. It's my life. I don't know how to even separate anything.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. When I am alone, when I am alone, when I am alone, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, give me Jesus. When I come to die, oh, when I come to die, when I come to die, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when when I rise. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. You can have all this world. You can have
With the music that you're doing today, and I know this could be a question I've asked you before, but I think it this I like this question because it can be it can have a different answer every time I talk to you.
Yeah.
If you were to take any song,
yes,
whether it's a song on this project or not, whatever song comes to your mind,
yeah,
and if Starbucks, yes, called you and said it's going to be,
oh,
the iTunes, like the download,
oh,
of the week, you know, you've been in the coffee shops,
yes,
and they'll give,
yes,
you a free,
yes,
song every,
yes,
week.
Yes, yes.
So all of America is going to,
oh,
get
okay,
this for,
okay,
free download iTunes deal. What's the message? What's the song in the Linda Randall repertoire that you would say for right now? This is what
I would say right now. There are two. It would be a song that I wrote. Actually, both these are that I wrote, and I'm not saying because I wrote them on the, yeah, new project. That there's a song called "In You I Find My Joy." And you can tell by when you turn on the news, newspapers, talking to people, people are trying to find their joy in so many things, Daniel, when the only real joy is in Jesus. And so I would want the world to know. I mean, some of you are looking in all the wrong places. It's in Jesus. It's in a personal relationship with Him. And then the other song is "He Is There." Because I've had my own personal storms and struggles, and that's how that song came about. I was lying awake one night as a young mother, a young wife, and just a lot on my heart, Daniel. I had so many questions for God. He was so cool. It was like, ask me anything. And I was saying, okay, Papa, what about this? What about that? And He kept saying, I am there. I am there. I am there. So I would want the world to know, wherever you are, whatever your situation is, whatever your challenge, God is not only there, He's been there. He's already, wherever you're going, He's there. And so those would be my two. Okay, Starbucks, are you listening? No.
That's good.
Yeah, those would be my two tunes, yeah. Yes.
You and Michael both have raised some great kids. And I've heard that from a bunch,
yeah,
of people,
yeah,
that are saying that. If you meet a young mother and just starting,
yeah,
out, maybe having some sleepless,
yeah,
nights,
yes,
like you just mentioned,
yes,
there, you know, do you find that it's important, while you want to empathize with their fear and their concern, I've been there,
right,
oh, it is tough, I'm,
right,
not going to lie to you,
yeah,
kind of stuff, that you speak blessing into their life, that,
yes,
you say, you know what, this is,
yes,
a gift and this,
yes,
is a cherished moment.
Yes. I would do it like times 1,000 all over again, Daniel, because being a mom, a wife and mom, these are the greatest joys outside of my relationship with Christ. This is my greatest joy. And sometimes, you know, moms and dads, sometimes they miss it. Sometimes we miss it. But I was into every stage with my kids. When they were like babbling, I'm like, I hope they can hurry up and will they hurry up and start talking.
Yeah.
I was never,
yeah,
pushy like that. And I'm not putting anybody down if you want to hurry your kids. And when they were crawling, like, when are you going to walk? It's like, for me, every stage was like, This is pretty wild. It's pretty amazing. And other than having these huge babies that were almost 11 pounds apiece and me being very sick, I wanted six of my own, and I was going to adopt six kids before I just physically could not do it. And but I would encourage young moms to just love them right where they are and to keep an open form with your kids. And I want my daughters, they're able to talk to me about anything. Sometimes it may take a little longer to say this or say that, but ultimately we're able to sit down and we're talking through things. Some things we may agree, some things we may not, but that's a commitment I have to them as their mom. And now while Joy's 18 and Patience is 24, I'm kind of like, I'm still their mom, but now we're kind of coaching a little bit,
right,
because they're needing to make some decisions on their own. But when they were younger, before the television would go on in the day, unless it was a Christian video or something, we would have devotions and we would sing songs and read scripture and we would pray, Daniel, to kind of get our minds and spirits set. So for young moms, just take that 2 or 3 minutes that you're running and rushing and just pray over your kids. Bless your kids. Speak life over your kids. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
When you're all caught up in the dark of night, torn between what's wrong and right, He is there. He is there. He is there. When the burdens of life are pressing you down, you see no way out and no way around. He is there.
He is there.
He is there.
He is there.
He is there. He goes before us everywhere. Oh, trust Him and follow. He's already captive today. And the words don't come easy when you kneel and pray. Shine again. He's promised a rainbow at the end of your pain. He's there.
Jesus is there.
He is there.
Jesus is there.
He is there. He goes before us everywhere. Oh, trust him and follow. He's already there. He's waiting. Down in the valley so low, through shadows of doubt, wherever you go, he is there, he is there, he is there. And when you're feeling hopeless, don't be afraid, you just walk in the footprints he's already made.
Linda Randall is with us. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. And we know, Linda, okay, we've learned you're a pastor's wife.
Yes.
You're a mom. You're a wonderful vocalist. You're a songwriter. Yeah, you've got a brother who's done a few things.
Yeah, a few things. Not much.
Now,
yeah.
what about a book? Are you an author? Are you an editor or a publisher? What are you doing?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I've been told many, many times, like, we need to get your story. And I'm like, oh, I'm not a writer, blah, blah, whatever. And after my mom passed, we were supposed to be on a tour in Africa, Tanzania. It was canceled because it wasn't safe to go at that time. So I was in heavy grief and didn't know how much, but in my room for about 3 weeks, I didn't stay locked up in the room. I was out every day, but just more downtime because we weren't in Africa and it was unplanned. And God literally dropped this cab driver's story in my spirit, not the adult books per se. It's a kid's book, ages 6 through 10. And I'm not going to give, but it's like, once upon a time on Capitol Hill lived a man and his wife and their little boy, Bill. The man's name was Nate and he drove a cab. It was bright, sparkly yellow. Oh, it was so fab. The wife's name was Maxine. I forget the rest of it. Anyway, so something like that. It's really, really cool story.
Yeah.
The illustrations are great. I just did the vocal read. And you know Jay Rouse that does the Praise Gathering? Yeah. He's going to do the orchestration behind that read. And hopefully, if it's not ready for Christmas, it'll be ready for Black History Month for February.
Right.
And it is an incredible story. My dad drove a cab in the D.C. area. And didn't know the Lord. He and my mom were married early. And this is kind of the setup for it. They were married very early. And they had a lot of volatile stuff going on in their relationship. And they did my dad's story, Daniel, on Lives of Great Christians on Moody. Oh. So you can Google Nate Tate or the story. You get the story. Right, it's unbelievable. Right, he was like this, if you can call a gambler professional, and mom and him were literally gangbanging. I mean, serious. I didn't know these parents.
Right.
I had one brother that was the only kid they had for 15 years. So my dad's driving his cab. He and my mom had separated. My mom moved to North Carolina. My dad stayed in D.C. My dad heard Oliver B. Green, an old preacher from Greenville, South Carolina. He heard the gospel for the first time. My dad pulls over his cab, accepts Christ, calls my mom and says, honey, something's happened. Can you come home? She came home. God put our family back together and six more kids were born. And I was born. I'm in the middle of that cab driver. It's an incredible story. And then, you know, just a little bit about my life and rebellion and running away and failing the ninth grade and being the only chocolate face in the all vanilla choir at school. I got a lot of F's in the ninth grade. So I won't tell you how many. You can inbox me on Facebook and I'll give you the number. So, so that we're working on that book and women's conferences and tours. Daniel, it's like, I feel like in a way I was just reborn. I've lost about 50 pounds. I kind of got off with the grieving thing and eating in excess and not so much. And the Lord just really spoke to me December 31st, 2014, and my mom in my spirit. Mm-hmm. Some things have to change because God's got so much more for you. And so the beginning of the year, I went on a 3-week fast. And then so thus far this year, I haven't had fried foods or pastas or bread or desserts or anything like that. People say, what do you eat? I eat a lot, but not that. So and nothing's wrong with that. Don't write Daniel or anybody. But I had to change a lot of things so I could get busy about the kingdom agenda. Yeah.
Linda Randall on Daniel, Britt, and Friends. We talked earlier about how, you know, things will change. There's natural progressions. Yes. Life happens. Yes. And one of those is death. Yes. I mean, and undoubtedly you knew the day would come.
Yes.
And your mom passed away. But it seemed to have hit you in a totally unexpected way.
Yeah,
right?
I was on tour. Right. I was on. I'd been with her. Like, we moved her from Washington, D.C. to Kansas City, Missouri in 2010. And Guy Penrod and I were doing a tour in Canada. I think it was 4 or 5 cities. And I'd been with my mom in the hospital for the last 2 weeks. Gave my mom a big hug and kiss. And I did not want to leave. I know she knew I needed to go, wanted me to go. But I kissed her 9/11 and said, I'll be right back. And on 9/12, I got a call on the back of our bus. We were near Boston and said, get to the hospital. This was the one trip my husband didn't go on.
Right.
We had a different driver that trip. And Mike got to the hospital. My mom was already in the presence of Jesus. Mm. And Guy said to me, if you want me to do this tour, you don't have to. And I go, my mom would just have a fit. And so we went on and did it. It was, God gave me a special grace, and but it was tough. I got home and her things were there when I came in through the garage door that she'd had in the hospital, and all of her CDs that she'd been listening to, and all of her personal items and clothing. And it was anybody that's gone through that after caregiving and everything, it's tough, but it is a part of life. And I know she is eternally free and happy and whole. Yeah. It's great. Yeah.
Do you feel like you're in a place where you're able to, we all know it's tough, but maybe it's different. Maybe we don't understand all the dynamics of it. Have you been able to counsel and talk with people who are in the same situation?
Yeah, I have. And we've had a lot of, you know, death. As a matter of fact, I really believe that God's given me a sidebar ministry. Not a lot of people know about ministry to people that are grieving. I won't name this person, but there's somebody in the homecoming family. I know we've lost quite a few people, but I stay in touch with them for all these years that this person has been gone. I try to send flowers on that special day. I call people, Daniel. I understand how people after the homegoing service, hey, we'll be praying for you. You never hear from them again. If you do, it's, you know, they want to wait until they think you're better and they may call a year later.
Right.
But God's given me a ministry to just call people. Even before we came yesterday, I was called. My husband's brother suddenly passed just a few months ago. And I don't know if you remember my adoptive vanilla dad. He just passed April. So we've had a lot. But all that being said, I feel like it's just really given me a spirit that's in touch with other people that go through. We say loss, and if they, you know, of course, die in Jesus, we know where they are.
Sure.
So I'm very sensitive in that area to people. And so it's a ministry that I don't know. A lot of people don't know, but that's kind of what I do. Sidebar. People come to the table, you pray with them, and you don't just quote them a verse and say, well, the Bible says precious in the sight of the Lord or the death of his saints. And I'm like, you know, that's there, but that's not the time to say it, because right now there's nothing beautiful about the person that you love.
Yes.
You're separated from. So yeah. Yeah. It's a
great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine in 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by
Like the Daniel Britton Friends page on Facebook, tweet at Britton Friends on Twitter, or simply visit the full site at danielbritt.com.
My vessel is empty. The ones I had plenty, now my soul is barren and dry. Somewhere flows a fountain beyond distant mountains. Let me drink from the river. Lord, feed your children. As we stand here willing to eat from the table of life, let us drink from the fountain that flows from the mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply.
Linda, I know you're on Facebook and you have websites and things like that, and that's a great way of staying in touch. Have you enjoyed that? I mean, that's a long way away from when you were in Liberty University.
Yeah, oh, a long way. My daughter's got me on Twitter now and all kinds of other social media. I have no idea. But yeah, I do. I enjoy it, and you get to reconnect with people that maybe you haven't spoken with in so long or seen. And like, you'll see a couple of guys. Yeah, I think I went out with him once. I think, you know, I used to have a crush on that guy.
Right, right.
I'm happily, blessedly married. But
right.
But yeah, it's really cool to stay connected. And I don't get into, one thing about me and Facebook, I don't get into political stuff really heavy at all. People know about my faith is very expressive. And every now and then the Lord will give me something to say. But I try not to just be posting stuff. And
right.
You can go to some people's pages and it's just like, really already.
Yeah.
But what's funny, Daniel, the other day, because I'm in Norway a lot, mayonnaise, and I don't know the Norwegian pronunciation for that, but I had a little package of mayonnaise.
I saw this.
And I go, I said my little liner was just saying. And I have 5,600 people really like that, and because mayo is a really big deal in Norway, and that little
packet—it's
a luxury, but it's like it's a necessity because they put it on the fish,
we put
it on shrimp, we put it on any kind of meat. It's just it goes with everything, any sandwich. And so sometimes on those long flights, you'll get this dry sandwich, and so that mayo. So it was funny because now I'll do little kind of things like that sometimes, but not a lot of. Just junk, but that's really cool to connect with that whole culture. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And your website, and by the way, it's Linda with a Y.
Linda with a Y, absolutely.
Wow.
And it's we got a new site up as of last night.
Awesome.
My daughter built us another little site. And so, yeah. Yeah.
Well, two for one deal there, right?
Oh, she's good. I'm paying her for real.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
I don't go, well, you're living here, but yeah. So, yeah. And then she actually has just started our digital downloads for the soundtracks that people can order, which is really cool. Really, really cool. So, yeah, we're going to be stepping it up, and she's trying to get me in the 21st. Are we still in the 21st century?
I think so. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, last check.
Okay. Yep.
It sounds like music. who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect.
You to finish this sentence. I'd rather have a root canal than do this.
Oh my word. I would rather have a root canal than to skydive.
Good. I'm glad it wasn't radio interviews.
Okay.
Good. Skydive.
No, yeah. So with you, Daniel, you're so easy. Daniel, and I'm not even saying it because I'm here, but he is like the best, like to just hang out with. It's so like we're in our living room. I mean, you know, this
Ask the popcorn.
Yeah, right. Hello. It's so cool and so fun. And I remember you were a young pup.
Yeah.
I remember
I came up and met and actually helped you and your husband run a record table.
Yes.
And then we were in Gatlinburg and we had lunch.
Yes.
Up in a Blaine's Bar and Grill.
Oh, wow. Good memory there.
And then fast forward, I started dating my wife and we went to Gatlinburg because that's the only place I knew to go. And so went back to Gatlinburg and went to Blaine's because that's the only place I've ever been in Gatlinburg. So you are a big part of that, okay?
That is so cool. And I remember you were trying to get that interview with Bill. Remember that? You like
yes.
and we were trying because he was under contract with before
yes.
they merged or
right,
something
with a
like that
company.
And
right.
and so I was telling Bill how amazing you were and he goes that Daniel Burtz he's really good you know and that's like that's so
kind.
Cool
great guy well yeah. thank you for thank your you. Friendship and thank you for the music because we can't get enough of it
thank you
and it's lindarandall.com right
yes
thank you Linda
thank you Daniel.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.